All right, Morgan, we're here with Billy Irvin from Faith Radio. Billy, I know you've got lots to say and show, so jump in and tell us what's going on with you.
Well, I got to tell you, it's so exciting to be here again today. It's one of those, this is in no way I have to go to Trinity Church. It's like I get to come here and share with you today. So I'm always excited about our ministry. Thank you for being part of this. Here's what's amazing. On April the 4th or the 5th, we're going to be celebrating our 40th year of ministry, 40 years. And, there are people in this church who were right there. It was never a ministry that was a part of one church. It was Christians in the community. And this will take you back. Christians in the community who were driving back and forth to Birmingham for seminary classes. And this group thought, we could save ourselves some time if we could just put this on a radio and we could just all not have to go to Birmingham. Right? And so that's how it started. And our friends at Fraser, they were like, well, y'all can have half of a trailer in the back of the parking lot. And that's where things started. But I know a number of people in this church were involved in praying. Jesse Williams involved and Shelly the Thompson family and Charlotte Brown and people like that. And they spent, here's what's amazing. They spent 3 years before, we're going to celebrate 40, but 3 years prior to that, they spent time in prayer, praying, praying, praying. And there were obstacles. It's a reminder that whatever we do, right? This church knows that too. You're trying to add on a nice fellowship. There's obstacles. Can you believe it? There are people that oppose what we do. And there were obstacles. We had issues with getting signals and frequencies. And so we experience obstacles. And I just share that as a reminder that whatever we're working through, we always have obstacles. And I'll share with you today that we currently face some big obstacles. And you just have to kind of take it as affirmation. When you're doing God's work, the devil has to show up, which makes you sometimes wonder if you're doing something, the devil doesn't show up. Maybe, I don't know. But it's 40 years. So we're so excited that we're celebrating 40 years on April the 4th. And this church has been right there with us every step of the way. Right, Wiley? So glad Wiley's with us today. Wiley's got everything tuned up and running today. And he does for us what he does for you. You don't see or hear him on the radio. You don't see him or hear him at your service unless something doesn't work, and then you'll know he's not here, right? So,
Or he'll know about it.
so celebrating 40 years. I did miss your missions market because we were at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It's called the largest gathering of Christian communicators, and this group began 80 years ago. Because of this, what they had obstacles 8 years ago. It's hard to believe that in 19, I think it was 44, religious programs had problem getting on television and radio. Think about that now. You're like they had, and I'll tell you, here's what was pretty amazing about it as you look at the history. It was Christians that didn't want them on there because they were threatened that. If I'm a pastor in, wherever, I'll just name a city, Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm a pastor of a church, I don't want this pastor from California or New York or whatever to minister to my area. So it was actually Christians that were an obstacle to other Christians. I would call that jealousy. I don't know about you, but we don't have that today, do we? But anyway, that's where it actually began. And so this group form to help. Let's work together and get Christian broadcasting. Let's get Christian religious programs on television and radio. And so that was the beginning of it. This group has continued on today, 80 years later, this largest gathering of Christian communicators. And today it includes social media, a lot of the people that you hear who have podcasts and it involves church media. And so if you were to come to this convention where we had 5,000 people, nearly 5,000 2 weeks ago, you would see people, like a David Jeremiah, John MacArthur, or the people that you hear on Faith Radio, Johnny Erickson Tada and Tony Evans, the people have been there over the years. But you'd also see companies that provide big screens for church or microphones or Wally, I sent you a picture of a huge light, a big $5,000 light that goes on a tower, and it takes three or four of those on one of our towers. So you see people there that supply the things you'd expect to see, software companies and that. So it was a great gathering. The threat is still here. I don't know if y'all heard us talk about the cake baker. Y'all heard about this cake baker, this guy out, I think it was in Colorado, was in the cake baking business, right? And someone comes into his business and says, I want one of your great cakes. And this is for me and my partner that are getting married. And he goes, I love you and everything, but I just don't make cakes for same-sex marriages. And if you remember, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, where someone was going to say, you must make this guy a cake. Now, that was overturned, but those threats are still there. The coach Kennedy, who bowed privately on a football field to pray to God after the game, lost his job. And these are people that we've interviewed on Facebook. And people like that are there, and the people who've represented them are there. And so the threat today is still here, even for us. I think I may have shared this with you last time, but, you know, our airways, and while we could explain this in detail, I won't let him today because we wouldn't understand it. No offense, but he's just got it up. He's way above us. But, you know, that we are on a frequency in Montgomery of 89.1. And in Dothan, we're at 90.3, and Andalusia, 91.5. But those frequencies are the property of our government, okay, the FCC. And the same is true for someone like WSFA, WCOB, NBC, ABC, and CBS. Those were like, anybody remember when I saw the channels we had on TV? Like Kevin Regan, all of that airspace is controlled by our government. And I always thought that is so wonderful because when cable came along, they're not as controlled. That's why you'll hear some words on a cable channel, some bad words that you can't hear on the air. I'm like, that is so nice. Our government keeps people from saying bad words over the airwaves. Okay. Now, the bad people will go, that's censorship. I want to be able to say what words I want to say. I want to say dirty words. I should be able to say them. But we always thought that was nice, right? Our government is in control here. They're protecting these airways. Yet now we have a world today where the government is like, okay, if you're going to talk about Jesus, then you've got to spend the same amount of time talking about something we don't believe in. If you're going to talk about marriage as one man and one woman and God's design, you need to also not offend anybody, but you must also talk about this. It'd be called censorship, and that they tell us what we say. And so we still live on that threat today, and it's a threat that some steps even last week to where the FCC, again, I'm thankful for them, but they're like, you need to fill out these new forms. We want to know who owns every radio and television station. We know your background, and we want to know your gender. And by the way, we've updated the form that says male, female, or whatever, right? That just came out last week. So you can just see where things could be headed. I just try to think and imagine, just imagine this, that this property here is owned by the government. And so they control what you say from the pulpit. And they come in and give you some rules and say, no, for every service that you, for every wedding that you have for male and female, you need to open the doors for, you know, something you don't believe in. And you're like, wow. So that's just the property that we're on. So I'm thankful for it. But this group, by the way, helps with that. We have a lot of people. They're located in Washington, D.C., and they advocate for the protection of free speech. That's what they say. Not that we want to censor it. We'll protect free speech. You have to. And when we say that, you have to realize that people have the right to say what they want to say. We protect free speech in the United States. And so that's just a kind of a little threat that we're under. So that's one of our prayer requests, that God would protect it. And he has protected it. And we pray that he would continue to protect that. Last week at this convention, I always ask this question, you know, is radio still relevant? Is it still relevant? Maybe I'm worried about radio and maybe no one listens anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, surveys show that 80% of Americans still listen to the radio at some point in their week. Okay. 80% of Americans still, so radio is very relevant. Now, not Christian radio, I'm just saying radio altogether. So, we've had competition over the years, you know, with social media and podcasts and cell phones, the biggest competitor, people talking on the phone in their car versus listening to the radio. But, anyway, it's still strong. That's something that we always are wanting to know. Are we still strong? And that's a big piece to that. I wanted to bring some people here today to share with you what they would tell you about our ministry. So I couldn't bring them here today, but I brought them here another way. And I just want to tell you about these folks real quick, and then I'm going to let you hear from them. This is Annie. Okay, this is Annie. She lives in Union Springs, and she's going to share with you in just a moment. But she's just a listener. I went over to her house about a month ago. She had just turned 88 years old. And she just said, I just can't tell you how I could make it over here in Union Springs without you. She said, you are my company keeper. My company keeper. And she'll talk to you about that here in just a moment. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Annie. Love her so much. Our ministry's walked through her in the loss of her husband. And she called us on the phone crying, my husband has died in the yard. And then during COVID, she lost a son during that time. He was a military man who lived down in Miami. And so she loved us. I'm going to have her share with you here in just a moment. And then you're going to hear from a gentleman in Troy, Alabama, just talking about what the ministry means to his life. This is a guy I had lunch with yesterday. We went over to Chappie's yesterday. This gentleman, Mr. Lattimore, he came by the station and got one of those crosses. We have these 7-foot crosses, and he's a painter here in town. And when he came by to get his cross, he started telling me, I listened to Charles and I listened to David, and he was naming everybody by their first name, and he named them the order there on the station. And I said, I need to talk to you. I forget the schedule, and he hadn't. So it was pretty neat. And then, this gentleman next to me is Lamar. He lives over in Auburn, and he's going to just share a few words with you. But Lamar is a gentleman who has not one child with Down syndrome. He actually has four children with Down syndrome. He had a biological child and adopted three others. And he said nobody seemed to want these, and he has a very lively home. One of his children has passed away, but he's very much into special needs. He loves Johnny Erickson Tana, which we all do. Mm-hmm. Love her. And, this guy. Oh, one more here to show you this guy. This guy I met at the convention the other day. And I was just walking along, and he did our morning devotional one day. And there you go. I don't want you to miss it. And he's in Liberia. And he's going to talk to you a little bit about what Christian radio means to his life. He didn't know about Jesus till he heard about Jesus on the radio. So I just wanted the four of them to, or the five of them, can't remember how many it is, to share with you. So here we go. Let's see if we can hear this. Okay.
Faith Radio is my company keeper because they talk about, it's always about Jesus. And I love him with all my heart. I play it all night. And I can sleep with it. I can wake up and everything. It's just a company keeper. If you know what that is, you know Jesus is a company keeper for us. And I lost my husband. I lost my son. And I need a company keeper. And so it's just been a blessing to me to have access to this radio station. And I hope others will find, because I'm not alone in this. I know others are lonely too. But when you have Faith Radio, you're never alone because it plays all night and all day.
My family in Troy, Alabama just love Faith Radio and have through the years for about 20, 25 years. What a blessing my family has had for all those years. Your prayers we've had in our personal lives and my wife here with me today because of those prayers. and the wonderful inspirational music, especially in the evening, to close out our day. We have every day, and all the truly greatest Bible teachers in the world with David Jeremiah and Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll, they're the best. And so blessed that they're all still with us and handpicked by those out here at Faith Radio Farm. So what great wisdom y'all use. So remember, you and your staff are daily in a prayer, and God bless Faith Radio and what it means all our lives in this area. Thank you.
What does Faith Radio mean to your life?
It means everything to my life. It started me off every morning that I get started. Got to hear the word. Charles Sandler, Chuck, Tony Evans, they go on and on. Chip, don't stop. I got to have that word every morning I wake up. I tell my mans all the time, you ain't finna play nothing or listen to nothing until we hear the word.
Carl, and thank you, staff and board of directors at Faith Radio, the teaching and preaching of all the outstanding messengers of the Word, and the awesome choices of current and past contemporary music, all without commercials, because of people supporting Christian radio for almost 40 years. It costs about $3,200 a day, I'm told. So if you are not a financial donor, I encourage you to prayerfully consider putting that in your family budget. They also don't charge the ministries airtime, though some do pay a small fee. They've really reached out to our special needs family through the years by praying with us, sending us encouraging cards, and calling us to challenge.
During the Trinity Missions Market, I was at our National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Tennessee, and I ran across this brother in Christ who has devoted his life to Christian broadcasting from Liberia. And he shared with me what Christian radio means to his life.
Personally, Christian radio means a whole lot. It means the world to me. Because when I heard the gospel of Christ on a Christian radio station that is 70 years old now, in my country, of all places, Liberia, I was like, wow, this message has to be heard across the entire continent of Africa. It was powerful. And of course, someone took me for the first time at a radio station. I was like, oh my goodness, this is what I want to do. I want to preach the gospel of Christ using radio. You know, I usually say it to people this way, a church, the biggest church ever, maybe we'll have 18,000 people at a time, maybe, you know, but, and that is on a Sunday. Christian radio, every single day, broadcasting the good news, the gospel of Christ, is powerful. And you know, Billy, I really want to thank those that support Christian radio. It is important that Christian radio keep broadcasting the message of hope in a hopeless world. And your support is the one that keeps Christian radio on the air for people like me to listen to the gospel of Christ that is on fire for God's name to be glorified. I want to say thank you.
That's who keeps me company day in and day out. You know, I'm here by myself in the house, so I have a company keeper, and that's Faith Radio.
All right. I couldn't get them all here today, so I brought them here another way, right? Which is kind of how we work. We're able to go into people's cars. We go in their homes, nursing homes. We're in jails. We're in a lot of places. One guy told me, he said, during the pandemic, he said, we were not allowed to go into jails to share the gospel, if you remember. Jail ministry would shut down. And he goes, y'all broke into the jails.
Yeah.
Y'all, those airwaves went in. And so God uses us to break into people's cars and, most important, break into their life, particularly when it just seems like when they need us the most. I think that's how God works, right? Is we need him the most, he's there. Many of us, when we go through something tough in life, and you really can't measure what's tough. A job loss is tough. A child that's misbehaving parenting and you just can't figure out how your whiny child needs help. Those things we all go through in life, and certainly the loss of a loved one. I think for most of us, we kind of retract. No, I just gotta deal with this. We retract and we're in our car or in our home, and yet that's where God probably uses us the most, is when someone is just in a deep valley, that we're there to offer encouragement, offer a biblical perspective of what they're walking through, whether it's an aging parent or, you know, dealing with cancer or whatever. We have so many programs that just talk about that. And whether it's, as you know, we're a mix of music and teaching programs. So whether God's word is sung, whether it's rap, we don't do rap music, but whether it's rap or whether it's preached, you know, it doesn't return void. So it does what God intended for it to do. And so that's our prayer, that today we would allow God's word as we speak it, that it would touch someone's heart, wherever they are. And those are just a few. I could bring you thousands of stories of people. And I know that many people will never tell us. You know, they hear it and they move on, and or they tune in. I find people that said, I've been listening to y'all for, you know, for 10 or 20 years. I've been listening to you every day. And I don't know who they are. That tells me a lot, that we're not connected. It'd be like somebody who comes to your church all the time. They come in, they sit on their pew, and they get up and leave. They come and go every day. And you don't, no one knows them, but they're here getting the word, right? And so we have people like that. They don't ever respond to us or tell us. And that's okay. I'm not mad at those people. I'm glad they're listening, right? Just like you would be happy for someone who comes into your church and leaves, and they just come. And you're like, nobody, who is? I don't know. He's been coming for 10 years. He never speaks to anybody. He comes in, he leaves. But you know you're talking to them. So we have a lot of people in that category. I think sometimes they're afraid that we'll ask them for money if they do that. That's certainly not our deal, is to do that. We like to connect with people. So where are we now? Are we on my own good time? I got some more to share, but I want to do questions and answers. Why is them singing for us? if y'all don't ask any questions, but
you were, I think last time you were here talking about expanding into part of the region.
Okay, let's talk about it. It was Mobile.
Yes.
And a year ago, we were contacted by a company down there. A gentleman had passed away. He was 90 years old. He had passed away. And kind of left his, he left his ministry to his engineer, a guy like Wiley. But this guy wasn't as bright as Wiley. He's a good brother, but he was like, I can't run this. I need someone to do it. And, unfortunately, God has not opened that door yet. In fact, it looks like God may give that opportunity to someone else. They had some technical issues, and, I don't know. I still believe that God's going to use someone else to work out the technical issues, and then come back and say, would you buy this? But it was a deal, as they tell me in that, but it's only a deal if God's in it. And, you know, we pray every day, God protect us from good ideas. We have people all the time, and you have this in your church. Hey, I got a good idea. Oh, right there. I want to hear this good idea, but if it's not a God idea, I can't do it. So, anyway, we're still praying God would enlarge our territory, but that one's off the table with us right now.
Well, I'm sure other people have questions. Anybody around the table?
I know y'all do a golf tournament every year.
What do you do? And you've been there.
Yeah. It's a lot of work to put on the golf tournament.
Is
that a big fundraiser?
It is a big fundraiser for us. By the way, it's going to be our 25th golf tournament.
Wow.
25th. And I'm going to give you something to pray about. I hadn't shared this with very few people, but it's our 25th golf tournament, and it is a big deal. And here's what this golf tournament has done for us over the years. It actually provides us with about 22 days of operations. So we net at the end of the day, let's say around $50,000. Okay. And that's wonderful, but it doesn't make our year. But here's what it does. It involves corporate people to be there. Your company has been in there. They make for Goodwin Meals and Catering. They're sponsored. Now, probably if I walked on the door there, knocked on the door and said, hey, would y'all make a donation to the ministry? Nah, you know, we don't. But if you say, hey, we'd like to be involved in the golf tournament, it opens a door for them to be involved with people like Blue Cross or Synovus Bank. Or those are places that you generally don't just knock on the door and they make a donation to your ministry. I understand that. It's corporate America way it works. But if you ask them to sponsor an event, we'll do it. Okay, so that's one thing. We get funds from corporate America we would not get. Number two, it has become a tremendous item to talk about in the community. People talk about our golf tournament. And anytime anybody's talking about you, they tell me this, if it's good or bad, it's good, you know, but it's generally good. People enjoy it. Golfers enjoy it. People who never listen to Faith Radio enjoy it and participate and come and have a good time. It's also an invitation to bring people to come because we share the gospel with people there. Everyone leaves with a bag full of goodies. Mm-hmm. And so it's an event that we use. I'll give you an example. I had one year, this one company had a team and they said, look, we got a conflict. We can't go. Would you bless someone to play in our spot? And I happened to be within a few days over in Auburn, and I was at a meeting like this, and the gentleman next to me was a big golfer, and he was on staff at Lakeview Baptist, and he had just lost a son. And he said, I'd love to come play in your tournament. And I said, okay. And he had done some ministry around the loss of a child. And so I said, would you want to bring three other people to play? Or he goes, would you just find me three other people? And in God's providence, over the next few weeks, I found three other men who had lost a child. And I put them on his team and I said, look, they don't know this. I'm not trying to hide from them, but I just want you to know God has provided three other men to be on your golf team. You've all lost a child. He had lost a son at 22. Another gentleman had lost a son with cancer. And I can't remember the other ones. And so that little team, I was just praying all day, Lord, just let the conversation go where it went. And they had a sweet time. So there's pieces to our tournament that happen like that that are just amazing. And then some, they're lost people that come play in our golf tournament. And so they get to hear the gospel. I've had people tell me, and you play in it, so you may say this, but I've had people tell me, look, I go to a lot of golf tournaments, and a lot of them we booze it up and get drunk and have a good time. But I had the best time at this one, and I don't know, you know. We just pray over the golf course. Holy Spirit would be there, that people would be blessed, that we would say the things that would help someone who's hurting. And I had another gentleman, and he died of cancer, but in his goodie bag was a book about God being the center of your family. And before he passed away, he shared with another buddy that this book meant so much to me at the golf tournament years ago. And so I know that God uses every piece of the golf tournament. So thank you for that. But here's what I was going to say. This is our prayer, just one of our prayer items. This is our 25th golf tournament. And I've been praying, you know, Lord, what can we do on the 25th? You know, you celebrate 25 years, that's great. But what I've shared with very few people, and I'm sharing with you today, is I feel like if we could somehow replicate that golf tournament and have another one in another city, and we're in a lot of cities, that we could perhaps, not necessarily for the money, not trying to raise more money, although God provides, right, that we could use another one to bless someone. Not at the scale that we are today, because we've been at it 25 years, and it takes a while to build that up and to get where it is. But I feel like God leading us to perhaps have a small little golf tournament in Auburn. We've had a lot of people who have moved out of our city over there. We are broadcasting in Auburn, and we're kind of setting it up as a pastor appreciation golf tournament, and just invite some pastors and some ministry leaders like the FCA or people like that to come. And we're trying to see if we can just have a second one and see what God does with it. If it's just a one and done, then that's it. But if it's something that would take off and have legs to be there for years, it would be a blessing to do that. We're not looking at getting in the golf tournament business, but, you know.
It's hard. It's tough to grow. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It's a year-round deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. What other, anybody have any questions in the Zoom world around the table?
What obstacles other than bureaucrats and censorship potential?
You know, I think the obstacles of that is real. But you just take that as affirmation, you know. I think the other obstacle is just really, I think the thing that we see in our world today, you know, as Christians, I'm sometimes embarrassed how we just sat on the sideline and let the enemy take over. You know, we sometimes are reluctant to stand up and just say, that's not right. You know, that's not right. That's dead wrong. In fact, that's in total opposition with what God's word says. And that's not always a popular message to share with people. And that's why we pray that we'd be speaking the truth with love. But I think as we, just a lot of apathy is sometimes we're our own enemy in that we don't share. So we've been, this year trying to encourage ourselves and encourage others that let's stand up. Let's be bold. We have allowed a very small minority of people that are and as the Bible said, in the end of times, man will think what's right is wrong and wrong is right. The Bible is clear about, you know, how people will act. And we just kind of like, you know, I think sometimes we don't stand up and go, you know, that's not right. So how we can speak the truth and do so in love, we're not looking for a fight, right? The battle is his. But we need to be bold in standing up and inviting people. And so I think an obstacle is getting people to invite people. Hey, rather than, if you saw that guy who was the gentleman said, I won't let my guys get started. He's a painter and he has a painting crew and he paints houses. I don't let my crew get started in the morning. Y'all gonna listen to the word before you listen to that mess. And so he's being strong and bold and saying, you know, that's junk. I want you to hear the truth and then it will set you free. That other stuff's just gonna mess your mind up. And I thought, that's a bold man right there.
Ben McNeil.
You, what's that?
Ben McNeil.
Ben McNeil.
Remember they all listened to,
He has now sold that, but yes, he made his, you know, there's a lot of people that said, you know, you're my employee, you're gonna listen to this in the morning. We're gonna have
a David Jeremiah and talk about
it. Yeah, we're gonna have a prayer time in the morning. I'm strong in my faith, just as an owner of a business. I am strong in my faith. I'm not telling you where to go to church, but here's what I believe. So I just think that, you know, we just got to be bold. We've been bold in our prayer walks, you know, that Tom's been so faithful, and this church has been faithful, and that we go around our city and our community just boldly sharing the love of Christ and praying over communities once a month. We've been doing that for 5 years now. And I think just things like that, being bold. I got other things to share with you. I just brought you this little packet today. I don't know that you individually get our ministry magazine. And, if you do, then that's great. And if you don't, then here's you another copy to share with someone. I'd rather you share it with someone than we just throw it in the garbage can. But I want to tell you what's in this packet. We try to be much more than just a radio station, and I want to make that clear to you. This magazine goes out to 8,000 people 4 times a year. We mail it out, and it's part of our ministry, and we try to have in here interesting things and for people to see where God is at work. This one was talking about seeing cultural trends through biblical lens. That's a very good article that we invest a lot of time in taking some things that we've shared on the radio to share with you. So it just lets people see where we're at work, biblical lens. It's just a good little devotional read. But we send this out to lots of people, and 8,000 of them. And it just kind of shows, you know, where we're at work and that we are more than a radio station, that we love you, we care about you. We invite you to contact us if we can help you. I don't know if you know this, but there are people who are not connected to a church. Can you believe that? There are Christian people, and I'm talking about some strong Christian people that are just don't go to church. And we tell them, don't forsake the blessing of assembling yourself. Don't forsake that. We're not a substitute for you going to church. But we have a lot of people who can't go to church or won't go to church. And I know you, this is hard to believe too. The church has hurt some people over the years. Can you believe that? We have. And so they're like, I'm not going to church. We got a bunch of hypocrites over there. Like, yeah, I'm one of them. Come join me. You're one too. So this just blesses a lot of people and touches them and connects us with them. So that's in your packet. Another thing that I had in your packet is this little card here. And we have lots of these, so if you need one. But these are a great thing to leave with someone. I keep a stack of these in my car. And, like, when I go through a drive-thru at McDonald's, I just kind of let the person know, hey, you're loved. You know, I'm not making a move on you. I'm just letting you know you're loved. You're loved and you're appreciated. Boy, COVID taught us anything. If COVID taught us anything, that, you know, we appreciate some people that work in some jobs that most of us, you know, wouldn't want to do. So to tell people they're loved and appreciated just kind of opens the door. I went by McDonald's for a number of weeks, and I get this card, and I ran out. And one day, a girl gave me a change. You're not giving me a card today? And I'm so sorry. I didn't have a card. So leave this. Now, don't leave it with a skimpy tip. If you're going to do a skimpy tip, don't give it. But you can leave it with a tip. You can leave it with someone. So this is a little card. Lets you know you're loved and appreciated. I thank you for being here. Just a way to show love. And then on the back, it kind of tells them how they can know Christ. So that's one thing. I got another one in your packet that's this. And it says need strength. And this card can be used for a couple of different things. A lady in our office named Kim, she said that this should go on your visor above your car, because when we're in our car, sometimes we need strength. Strength not to say a dirty word to the guy that pulled in front of you, or just, you know, we need it. So it's got some words of strength on here that are incredible about this. Now remember, God's word doesn't return void. So when you share it, you speak it, or you give it, it'll do what it's designed to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How about this one? The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin anew each and every morning. So it's got some verses on here. Okay. It's also got this QR code. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of our world today do not like to talk to people, particularly the younger folks. They'd much rather do this, okay? So this QR code will take you to Billy Graham's website called Peace with God. We have this on all of our websites, and we have here. But if you scan that, it'll take you to Peace with God, and on there, it'll say, do you want to chat with someone right now? And if you hit chat, you can just type and say, I'd like to know Jesus, or I'm having this. And someone on the other end will chat with you, and it's Peace with God. So I have on here, Jesus loves you. Do you want to know him? You want to know him? Yeah, I'd like to know. I'd like to know about this Jesus guy. I'd like to know that. Well, then you can talk to someone by calling this number, or you can scan this little code with your phone. So I find them people want to scan and chat. So it's a way to share the gospel with someone. So this card starts off with this, and this is kind of one of my themes that I share with people. In the same way that we need physical food for physical strength, and we've enjoyed a great breakfast here, right? But we have a starving world out there because they have no spiritual strength, right? So in the same way you need physical food for physical strength, you need spiritual food for spiritual strength. And you don't have to look far to see people who are starving for spiritual food. So it's just a reminder to let them think a little bit. I need spirit. I don't even know what you're talking about. I need spiritual strength. Yeah, you need spiritual strength. There's a God who loves you, that wants to guide you and care for you, and you can know him. And so that's what that little card is. And I got this. Is there anything else in that packet?
I don't know.
That's your cross.
Yeah.
It's gold. I don't know. I love it gold.
Well, one thing you didn't mention and has nothing to do with the radio,
okay,
but is the way you bless people. That, and I'm speaking for Todd. I got a text from Sadler McElmore's daughter, who was just on the Zoom, mailing encouraging notes.
Wow.
And I've been blessed by, I know Todd has, Sadler has, and many people that I'm thousands of people, and that's an incredible
blessing. We're much more than a radio station. We love and care for people. And here's what you'll know. Todd knows this, and you know this. Many of you know this. The Clark family knows. When you go through a crisis, okay, there are a lot of loving people that zoom in around you, and they want to be there for you. They want to show their love. Many of us don't know how to do that. But within a few days, a few weeks, and a few months, the crowd's gone. But the pain ain't gone. You still hurt. And I was taught this by a chaplain at Baptist Hospital many years ago that we got to love on people, not in a moment of crisis. In fact, sometimes the best time to love on them is let the crowd do their thing. And again, those aren't bad people. Those are loving people. And I've been there, don't know what to say. Oh, there's Todd. I really can't speak to him because if I speak to him, I'm liable to say, I'm just liable to say the wrong thing, you know. And so, and that does happen, right? We know that very well. But love on people. And the best thing you do is give them God's word. I'm not talking about hitting them over the head with the Bible, but just remind them. And so we have a card ministry that has been a tremendous blessing to people that we just come around them and love on them in their time of need. And so it's been a big part of our ministry to just love on people. And, you know, sometimes in the crisis, they don't realize what they need. You know, they know they love the Lord and this, but they don't realize what they need. So we're blessed to be able to come around people. So we're thankful for that.
Anybody else has any questions? We're going to move to just a time of prayer. And anybody who wants to pray, Bubba, will you open us and time will close us and lift y'all up today?
Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for this time. Lord, I just thank you for Billy and his excitement about you and the gospel and the radio and everything. Lord, he is such an inspiration to me, and I'm sure to many others. The work that's going on there, and I was thinking about it. Lord, you control the airways. Mm. And this is such a way, blessing to send the truth out to a lost world, particularly in South Alabama. We all need it, but it's so encouraging to know that it's coming out right here from Montgomery in say, South Alabama. So I have been blessed for many years listening to WLBF, I just thank you for the 40 years and for what's going on, Lord, and look forward to the many more years as it reaches other places. I'm just amazed the number of places now it goes, but the airways go everywhere. So what an exciting time. I do pray that you would bind Satan with all his activities against everything that we are doing as Christians. We are just so opposed by so many people, but Billy has the boldness, and we all need to have the boldness to speak up, share the gospel, tell the truth, let people know who's in charge. So, Lord, we are blessed to have Jesus as our master, and I pray that we will follow him as he would lead us. So, thank you again for this time, and thank you for Billy and WLBO. Pray this in Christ.
Well, I pray for Billy and the staff and the people that just make things happen each and every day. Put it across the airways, Lord. Just open doors and people riding down the road or at home listening, Lord, just to, for them, as we heard today, from people that are, this is their comforter each and every day. Start off the day listening to this radio station that reach so many people. Lord, just really amazing how it can reach. And pray that it reaches more and more each and every day. In your name.
Yeah, we are very thankful. Don't always have the words like right now, but we are very thankful. Christ's name.
Lord, may we recognize opportunities that are presented to us every day. And that we would do our best, and that we would know that you're there with us. In Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Our country calls this a Super Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Yet, Father, we know that a Super Tuesday is a day with you. And I thank you that you are with us. That you never leave us, you never forsake us, that you want to provide for us. And you also have equipped us to share your word. So I thank you for this church. I thank you for those around this table that have a heart for you and your ministry. I thank you that these are very faithful partners that we can count on to pray for us, to encourage us. And Father, they support us. Father, it is not about money. It's about doing your work. And we know that it takes money to fuel the ministry. So we thank you that you have for 40 years provided for our needs, and we've never had to sell an advertisement. That's unbelievable, Father. That is super. That is Super Tuesday material. And I thank you for that. I do pray for our city and our state and our nation today, Father. Forgive us. We've turned our back to you, yet you still love us. So, Father, my prayer today that if our people, the people who are called by your name, that's us, will humble themselves. Father, we humble ourselves and we turn from any way that's not pleasing to you. That you will hear from us. You'll hear us, Father. We know that you hear our prayers and you'll provide healing for our land. So help us, Father, today. Help our broadcast to be strong. Help the ministers that are on this end of the microphone to share the words that are needed at just the right time for grieving parents, for those who are walking through cancer, for those who are on the mountaintop today, Father. I pray that they would be less, and those that are deep down in the valley, that in a hopeless world, they hear hope over the airwaves. So we thank you for our ministry. I pray you'd use it like a magnet to draw people to you, that they would put down their phones, that put down their television sets or anything that would distract them, that our ministry would help people to keep their mind on things above. We thank you for the hope that we have ahead, Father, for what you've overcome. As we head into this season of Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we thank you that you've overcome all this. It's not something that you're going to do. You've already done it. You've overcome that awful sting of death. And those around this table, we know that sting so painfully well. Thank you that you've overcome the sting of death, that our hope is in what lies ahead and not here. We're just passing through. But Father, as we pass through these days, thank you that you're with us, that you guide us and protect us and equip us to be all about you and the things that we say and that we do. Help us, Father, to speak the truth with love. We thank you for this opportunity again today to be encouraged here in this place. I pray that tonight would be a tremendous encouragement for people that are coming. Perhaps it's a hunter who's just out of bounds in his life, that tonight would be a time of reflecting, redirecting, and turning to you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name for this great church.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time. I'm grateful for Faith Radio and those who have been faithful in this over these 40 years. And as Bill just described, the men who were praying and people who were praying prior to that to bring this about. So we thank you for this ministry, and we thank you certainly for the gospel, the truth of your word that goes out through this station and the network of stations. And for those who are able to listen then, be encouraged in their walk and be brought to you, be challenged perhaps. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this ministry. Thank you for Billy and the work that he does across this community, and it's just the encouragement that he provides in the way you equipped him to do that. Thank you for Wiley, his faithfulness in serving this ministry as well. Lord, we pray that you would provide. We pray that you would bless the golf tournament and even plans to perhaps start additional tournaments or other forms of outreach. We pray that you would provide the support for this ministry, and that you would continue to use it for the sake of your kingdom, and for each of us, that you would go with us as we, you've equipped us to serve you in various ways, and that we would be found faithful and good stewards to glorify you in this day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.